Have you had a good Sabbath? Oh, wonderful. I did too. I have been so blessed to be with you this week and this Sabbath. Unfortunately, I will not be able to join you the second week. I will be leaving tomorrow. And so I wanted to make sure to let you know how much of a blessing you have been to me, your smiling faces, your dedication to the Lord, the decisions that have been made, how you have blessed with music, with your words, with your attentiveness, and also, of course, the decisions you've made to be faithful to Jesus. So I want to encourage those of you who will be here the following week to continue to remain faithful. For those of you who will be departing, take what you have learned with you and be the light in whatever corner the Lord may have you brighten. So tonight, of course, we want to make sure there's plenty of time for you to share your testimonies and how the Lord has been working with you. So I want to get right into the message tonight. And the title of our talk is Carry Up My Bones. Carry Up My Bones. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have sensed your presence with us this week. You have been so good to us, and we thank you. And now as the Sabbath draws to a close, we ask for one more blessing. We ask that you will speak to us through the person of your Holy Spirit tonight. And may the Word of God make its impression on our hearts. And may you also prepare the hearts and the lips of the young people whom you have given a testimony to share. For you have said they overcame the dragon, the serpent, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so as we prepare our hearts for this event right now, we pray that you will be with us once more. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 7. By now you know that we are talking about the 144,000. And as the intro for the first few nights of the 144,000, we looked at the history of Jacob's family, Joseph's brothers. And we've skirted around him, but we have alluded to, we have referenced Joseph, you know, on the side in various ways, have we not? His story really takes up a gigantic portion of the entire book of Genesis. It's difficult to talk about any character in the second half of Genesis or so without bumping into Joseph. But what's interesting is that in Revelation chapter 7, we mentioned it a few nights ago, but I want to zero in on this fact, that in verse 8, notice it says, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were also sealed 12,000. We discussed how Joseph, if you look at all of the listings of the tribes in the Old Testament, Joseph's name does not get mentioned. If you look at the map of the territory of Israel, there's no mention of Joseph being a tribe. And we now know it's because he was divided into Ephraim and Manasseh. They had two tribes. But the fact that he was reinserted into the lineup of the 144,000, of the 12 tribes of the 144,000, tells us something about Joseph. It means John wanted to bring him back into our minds. The special group of people who will be able to stand through the last great tribulation before Jesus comes, a certain portion of them will be characterized by Joseph, what he was like, what he went through, his experience, just like the other 11 brothers and tribes that are mentioned here. So the question tonight I want to ask is, then what is most notable about Joseph that we ought to remember? I could ask you for your thoughts, because I know many of you would have lots of great answers, but we don't have time for that. But if we were to contemplate, what are some significant things, notable attributes, characteristics of the character of Joseph, we could come up with a long list of wonderful things, right? He was the obedient son. He was the one who was faithful. He was the one who remained pure under temptation by Potiphar's wife. He was the one who forgave his brothers. He was the one who had dreams, and He was the one who saved the entire nation of Egypt, and he was the one who became prime minister. He was faithful in the prison. There's so many different things we can say about Joseph. But what is the most significant thing that the Bible writers say that we ought to remember about him? I want to point your attention now to the book of Hebrews. Turn there with me into Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, what does that chapter have to deal with? What does it talk about? Faith, very good. It's a long list of faithful men and women through sacred history, is it not? And so it's a condensed history of many stories in the Bible. And so the writer of Hebrew must just condense it to the essence. What's the most incredible thing that I can mention? The most notable thing that we have to remember. And so let's take a look at what he has to say about Joseph. What was the most notable thing about Joseph that should be recorded in the hall of faith of Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his what? His bones. Of all of the things that were written about Joseph, all the details recorded about his life, the writer of Hebrews, in the New Testament, looking back on the Old Testament, he's scratching his head. I'm trying to illustrate most profoundly the faithfulness of these giants of sacred history. What's the most incredible thing I can tell them about Joseph? And he thinks, yes, what Joseph said about his bones. That's what's most important. Does anyone know what Joseph said about his bones? Have anyone? I'm sure some of you have. Many of you probably have. Okay, but many of you have not. If I asked you how many of you know about Joseph's coat of many colors, every hand would go up, right? There are things about Joseph that everybody knows, but this is somewhat of one of the more obscure facts about this incredible person in Scripture. Do you want to know what Joseph had to say about his bones? Let's look in Genesis now. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 50, the very last verses of the very last chapter of the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 50, beginning in verse 24. Genesis chapter 50, beginning in verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall do something. What shall they do? Carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph, on his deathbed, called the children of Israel, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, together, and he said something to them. He said, I want you to remember something very important. Egypt is not your home. You don't belong here. I don't belong here. I might have been the prime minister of Egypt. I might have served under Pharaoh as his right-hand man, but this land in which we are dwelling is not our home. And so to remind you of that, you need to promise me something, Joseph said. Don't bury me here. Put my bones in a coffin, put it somewhere safe, somewhere where everyone can see it. And when God delivers you from this land, carry up my bones. Joseph could have probably had a pyramid built for him. Actually, I don't know enough about Egyptian history to really know if the time period in history lines up, but at least a monument of some sort, a statue, right? You go to Washington, D.C., there are monuments of great men in the past of this country. Surely Joseph would have gotten at least a statue or a plaque or something to commemorate what he's done. But Joseph said, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. All I want to do is for you to remember that you don't belong here. I want my testimony, my legacy after I'm gone to be one that is always reminding the children of Israel of where their true home is. He believed in God's promises. He dedicated his entire life to God, and even in death, he wanted his influence to continue to permeate Israel, to remember them to be faithful to God. Joseph may have been in Egypt. He may have even ruled Egypt, but Joseph was not of Egypt. And he made that clear in his final testimony before he died. He never belonged there, and neither did the children of Israel. And so, you know, not long after Joseph died, there came along a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And from henceforth, for centuries, the children of Israel were under persecution, under bondage, under slavery. And during those centuries when they were crying out to God, God, where are you? Don't you know we're suffering? Where are you? Have you forgotten about us? Joseph's bones laid quietly, yet loudly proclaiming the testimony. God will never forget you. He will deliver you, and you must carry up my bones. Let's go in Exodus chapter 13 now, a few chapters over. Moses had been called to deliver the children of Israel, the burning bush, all the rest. The 10 plagues have run their course. Pharaoh finally relents, and he says, get out of here. I can't take it anymore. And so Moses and all the children of Israel, they're packing up. They're ready to go. But Moses does not forget something very important. Verse 19 of Exodus 13. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he has straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from hence with you. The bones of Joseph, as they were being carried out of Egypt, was a testimony of the faithfulness of God. But yet God's promise had not yet been fully fulfilled. God was still in the process of delivering Israel. And so God says, or Joseph rather, through his bones, continued to cry out, keep going, remain faithful, carry up my bones. Through the trek in the wilderness, Joseph's bones continued his legacy, the testimony, reminding God's people of his promise, reminding them of one whose promises will never fail. When they came to the edge of the Red Sea, cornered by the armies of Pharaoh, Joseph's bones, quiet and silent as they were, nevertheless testified, do not be afraid. God will surely deliver you. Carry up my bones. When they ran out of food, when they ran out of water, the children of Israel were complaining. They were wondering, God, where are you? Joseph's bones cried out, don't forget the promises of a God who's never failed you. Carry up my bones. When Moses did not come back from the mountain, instead of building the golden calf, Aaron should have pointed the children of Israel to look at the coffin which carried the remains of Joseph and said, you remember that man. He is here to remind us, even in his death, that God will surely deliver us. We must carry up his bones. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, instead of rebelling against the authority of God through his ordained leaders, they should have remembered Joseph's bones. God will not leave us. God will deliver us. We must carry up his bones. When the 10 spies brought back their evil report, Joseph's bones were crying out with Joshua and Caleb, saying, we can surely take this land, for God is with us. Carry up my bones. When Moses died and their visible leader was taken from them, Joseph's testimony was, God has not left you. God is still with us. He will still deliver you. Carry up my bones. When it's time to march around Jericho, it seems an impossible task. How can this giant city's walls be defeated by just walking around and blowing on some trumpets? Joseph's bones saying, just believe in God, carry up my bones. Through the 40 years in the wilderness, in the conquest of Canaan, Joseph's bones traveled with the nation of Israel, reminding them, do not slacken in your pace because God's promises have not yet been fulfilled. Carry up my bones. Let's go now to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We're at the very end of the book of Joshua now. And we read this in verse 29. Joshua, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Israel and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Did I say Joseph? Sorry. All the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Notice verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the son of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Not until Joshua died, not until Israel had fully settled into the land of promise, not until the people were at rest, not until God's promise was fully realized, was Joseph's bones placed at rest. Now can we see why the author of Hebrews said, if I can mention one thing that is most notable about the faithfulness and the character of Joseph, this is what I want people to remember. Carry up my bones. But friends, Joseph's bones may be buried in Israel somewhere today, well disintegrated after all these centuries and millennia. But his bones still speak. Because this world is not our home. Heavenly Canaan is our final destination. And God will surely visit you and deliver you from this place. However, are we becoming satisfied in Egypt? With the temptations like the leeks and the garlic and the fish of Egypt lured and tempted Israel sometimes to turn back to the land of their bondage. Oftentimes this world presents its allurements, its temptations, its prizes, its fun, its games, its pleasures, and it draws us in. Remember, carry up my bones is the message Joseph continues to cry out from his grave. If we are discouraged, if we are depressed, if we feel as though God has forsaken us, like the children of Israel through those centuries of slavery in Egypt, remember, Joseph continues to say, carry up my bones. Even on the mountaintop experience, like what we are experiencing here, where we feel like we're gaining the victory, where we have friends that support us, where we feel like we are doing finally something good. We might feel some measure of pride in our own accomplishments. Joseph's bone says, don't get full of yourself. Don't let your head get too big because the promise has not yet been fulfilled. Carry up my bones. When we are tempted to do wrong, like Judah was, remember, carry up my bones. When we long and crave to fit in, like Reuben did, even though the crowd is headed the wrong way, remember, carry up my bones. If we feel the temptation of our idols whispering in our ear, stirring our passions and our inherited and cultivated tendencies like Ephraim. Remember, carry up my bones. When we are unsure of what we ought to do with our lives, when we're not sure that we want to go through with the mission that God has called us to, remember, carry up my bones. And when we don't feel like following Jesus, when we feel like sacrificing for Jesus' sake is just too much to take, remember Joseph's testimony, carry up my bones. Friends, Joseph's testimony can be our testimony too. When people look at us, will they see an individual who through our life, through the demonstration of our choices, actions, lifestyle, career choice, whatever friends we make, can they say of us, that individual reminds me that Jesus is coming again, that God will surely visit us and take us from this place? Can that testimony be said of us, that we too call people higher to carry up Joseph's bones? So tonight, as we get ready to transition into our testimony time, where you have an opportunity to share what Jesus has done for you, I just want to make two simple appeals. The first is very simple, and that is, how many of us today want to say, I want to be ready when Jesus comes? I want to carry up Joseph's bones. That's my desire. And the second appeal, hands down, is simply the flip side of that. How many of us want to have that same testimony? That when people look at our lives, they look at our influence, they can say, that young person, that older disciple, that younger disciple, they remind me that there is a God in heaven, that He will never fail us, that He will deliver us, and He's coming again. God bless you. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the testimony of Joseph. We're thankful that he did not seek a monument to his own greatness, but he chose to use his influence, even in death, through his remains, through the rickety old bones in a coffin, to testify of something that continues to resonate down here at the end of time. May we be faithful to the oath that the children of Israel gave, that we will carry up his bones. We will remain faithful until Jesus comes. And we pray that we too might have that same testimony, so others may say that of us, that because of our influence, because of our lives, because of what they see in us, they in turn see Jesus and are will be prepared to meet him in the air. Bless us the remainder of this evening and the remainder of these lingering Sabbath hours. And may we now, in the remainder of this service, hear how you have been working in our individual lives this week. We commit these things now to you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.